Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Beis on an Aleph at the end of the fourth line. We learned in the Mishnah that a woman is allowed to close the two sides of her garment, Maftei Chalukah. Ask the Marpshita. Of course she may do so. And as the Sefer Birkas Avram explains, people constantly are taking on and taking off their clothing. And since people are constantly taking and putting on their clothing, there should be no reason that a keshesh hakayoma, it's certainly not. For as we explained in our previous year, a keshesh hakayoma is only something that's always opened or is always left for a long time to be closed. This is clothing, so they're certainly not in that category. But we would think that maybe it should be one of the circumstances that Chazal would make a gzeira that we should not be allowed to open and close. But says the Gemara, that's difficult to understand, that it should be usher to open and close clothing. Answers the Gemara, Tzricha, we're referring to a garment, this letrei d'ashi, that has two sets of straps. Matatema, so we would think, chad menayu betuli batul, that one is always going to be open and closed, and one will always be remain closed. And since it's always going to remain closed, that's why it should be considered a kesher shel kayama, kamash malon. And as the Ritva explains, since we don't know which is the one that's going to be open and closed, so since we don't know which one is going to be open and closed and which one is going to be left closed, both of them are considered a non-kesher shel kayama. The Ran, the Meiri, have a different pshat. Since sometimes she opens and closes this set of straps, and sometimes she opens and closes the other set of straps, so neither set of straps is considered a kesher shel kayama. We learned further in the Mishnah that a woman could tie chutei svacha, the strings of a hat. Ask the Marpshita. She, again, the way we're learning, you constantly put it on and off the hat. So it's a knot that's not constant, not going to be there permanently. Light Tzricha, answered Gemara, the Revichla. We're referring to a hat that's loose on our head. Ma'atayim Mishla Shafalei, she could slip it off without untying the knot, and therefore the knot should maybe be considered Keshes Kayama. Kamashmo, and that's why the Mishnah teaches us, Deisha Chosal Sara, a woman would not want to do that, because by doing so, she's going to pull her hair, which obviously hurts. Or Mishra Shayalei, she opens and closes the knot, and therefore it's not considered a kesher shel kayama. Virtuos min of a sandal, we learned the shoelaces are not considered a kesher shel kayama. So before we begin this Gemara, we're going to be speaking about a minnow in our shear and about a sandal. A minnow is what we know as a shoe, and it's made out of a number of pieces of leather that are sewn together, and it completely covers the foot. A sandal is made out of one hard piece of leather, which is put under the sole of the foot. And then there are long straps with which you tie the sandal that it shouldn't fall off your foot. Says the Gemara Itma, Hita Ritzus Min of a sandal. If somebody untied the shoelaces of a mineral sandal, Tani Chada, in one brisa it says Chayiv Chatas, that you over the Melech of Matur on Shabbos, but Tanya Eidach, another brisa says Pota Velosa, and a third brisa says Mutal Chatchila, that you're allowed to do this Lechatchila on Shabbos. So ask the Gemara, Kasha Minal Aminal, we have a very serious stira. What is the aloch by the minal? Kasha Sandal a Sandal, and what is the aloch by the sandal? Answers the Gemara, Minna Minal Kasha. The way we understand a minnow, hadik tani chayiv chatas, the case where the bride says chayiv chatas, but the ushkafi, the knot of the shoemakers. At the bottom of this shoe, is where the shoelace is inserted, and it's inserted and tied to remain there permanently. So that's why it's a kasher shel kayama. And making it or untying it is a kasher mata. Pata velosar is the shoes of drabonon. The Rabbanon did not take off their shoes. And Rishonim give two reasons why the Rishonim did not tie their shoes so tightly and just slip them on and off. One explanation is that they sat in Beis Medrash and learned. And since they sat in the Beis Medrash and learned, they didn't have to worry that as they're walking in the street, their shoes may slip off. And therefore, they didn't make them with a tight knot. The Mordechai explains that the Talmid HaChamim in those days would sit and learn all the time in the Beis Medrash, and they would just doze off in the middle. When they got tired, they would just doze off in the middle of their learning, and then they didn't bother taking off their shoes and their clothing, and then they woke up and they resumed their learning. Asked the Taz, according to the Mordechai, how would Rabbanan permitted to tie their shoes when they got dressed on Shabbos morning? The knot that they're going to tie on Shabbos morning, only on Friday night they slept on the bed. So Shabbos morning, when they're going to put their shoes back on, it's a knot that's going to be till next week, Friday night, which is a permanent knot. The same question is, when they took off their shoes Friday night, how were they allowed to take off the shoes, untie those knot? Isn't that a kesher shel kayama? So the Nesiv Chaim says, regarding making the knot Shabbos morning, indeed, the Rabbanim were careful that when they made the knot, when they tied their shoes Shabbos morning, they would only make a bow. Similarly, that we, in our previous year, quoted a Machloikus Rishonim, when we speak about the Melacha of Matir, does it have to be Matir Amanas Likshar? So he wants to suggest that our Gemara is a raya, that matir is only usur when it's almanas likshar. Matir is only a problem when it's your intention to make a knot. Here, as we just said, when they're going to get up Shabbos morning, their intention was to make a bow. So when they untied their shoes Friday night, it was with an intention to make a bow, not with the intention to make a knot. A matir, which is not with the intention to make a knot, is not considered a matir for which you chayiv. And the brisa that says by minol, continues the Gemara Mutal Chatchila, is talking about the Bnei Mechuza. The Bnei Mechuza were very, very careful about their clothing. And since they were so careful about their clothing, they always tied and untied their shoes. So any knot which they made was by definition non-permanent, and therefore it's Mutal Lechatchila. Sandal Lekasha, it's talking about the sandals of the merchants, which the shoemakers tie, and they tie them in a way that should be very tight all the time, and therefore tying or untying such a knot is a chiv chatas. The knots that are made by the people themselves, they don't untie them every day, but they also leave them for quite a while. And since they leave them for quite a while, that's why it's considered pata aval osom. And it's interesting, Rashi here, b'dechumer to the katri ino, says that for how long did they usually keep them tied? The kosher matirim pomish miskayim Shabbos achodesh. He says sometimes they left it for a week or a month. And according to Rashi, here it seems that Rashi is teaching us that if you tie a knot, but it is your intention to keep the knot only for a week or a month, that already is not considered kesher shel kayama, that there should be an issa deraisa. Mutal chatchila, and when is it mutal chatchila to tie and untie the knots of a sandal, says the Gemara? But the sandal is nafka betray, a shoe that's worn by two people. And since it's a shoe that's worn by two people, so they constantly have to tie it and untie it, sandal that's worn by two people, they constantly have to tie it and untie it to make it fit according to the people that need it. From here we see, as we said, that a week, a month, is still not a kesher shel kayama. Others say that it depends on what type of knot it is, and also what type of what we're tying together. Where do we find, says the Gemara, that two people share a shoe? Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Achved Rav Salah Chassidah Havalai Hu Zugah the Sandala. Rav Yehuda had this pair of sandal. Zimna Nafik by Yehu. Sometimes he wore them. And Zimna Nafik by Yenukit. Sometimes his son wore them. Asal Kamei Dabaya. Amalei Kai Gavna Mai. Are we allowed to tie and untie such sandals on Shabbos? Amalei Chayv Chattis. Yil chayiv chatas if you tie it, untie the sandal. Amrei, to which Rabbi Yehuda said to him, hash the pot aval also kakashali. I never had a havamina that there should be a chayiv chatas. My entire consideration was, is it mutter osam ad rabbonin? Chayiv chatas currently? And you're telling me that tying and untying such sandal carries with a chayiv chatas? My tama, why are you being so strict? Amrei, so he answered, Zim shem dechol nami. So he said, what's the reason, ask Abaya, that you find my psak so hard to understand? Amalei, so he said, Mishim dechol nami, zim nafkabay in ano. Sometimes I wear this pair of sandals, zim nafkabay inukud. Sometimes my son wears the sandals. And therefore we're constantly tying and untying the sandal. So he says, if that's the case, Amalei hachi, certainly mutal chatchila. Says the Gemara of Yomir, you have a ka'ozal basrei deravu bekarmelis. Rav Yirmiyah was following Rav Avuah in a Karmelis. And Ifsik Ritzu the sandali, and the Ritzu of a sandal got ripped. Amalei, so he says, my Navadle, what should I do with this at this point? He obviously did not want to leave his sandal sitting in the street. Amalei, so he said to him, Shikol Gemilach, take a moist piece of grass, the chazi l'machal behema, and since it's chazi l'machal behema, it's obviously not muksa, ukroichalei, and use that instead as a strap on the shoe, and since you're going to use that instead on the strap of the shoe, then the halacha is that it's not considered a problem, and you can continue wearing the shoe. Abaya, says the Gemara, another story. Havakai kameid Rabbi Yosef. Abaya was sitting in front of Rabbi Yosef. And similar story. Ifsek le ritzua, a shoelace tore on his sandal. Amalei, and he asked, my avidle, what should he do? Amalei, shafke, you have to leave it, because it's muksa. Asked the Gemara, maishnam ad Rabbi Yehuda. But why did he not give him the same advice as Rabbi Yehuda gave, to use the grass to make a strap? Answers the Gemara, Hossam loin minter. There it was in a karmelis, in a public place. And since it was in a public place, he had to come up with an advice how to make it possible to move the shoe. Hacha minter, so just leave it there and pick it up on Shabbos. So obviously, there's an obvious question here. If it's muksa, it's muksa both in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and a karmelis. And if it's not muksa, so it's not muksa, either in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and the Karmelis. So why did he differentiate? So from here we see, it says the Rajba and the Ritva, a very important point. Muksa, let's understand the situation. It's not automatically muksa, because as we learned earlier in Amasechta, to be considered muksa under those circumstances, it has to be migad gatzoy l'ben ashmoshes, es gatzoy l'kul yoyma. Rather, what happened here was that it became muksa on Shabbos. So indeed, as we learned, if something becomes muksa on Shabbos, it is indeed muksa. But that is dependent on your state of mind. If you intend to be maksadas from it, that you have no use from it, so indeed becomes muksa. However, if you don't intend to completely be maksadas from it and not think about it anymore, then it doesn't become muksa. So they explain. When it broke in the Karmelis, and the person knew that he doesn't want to leave his shoe in the Karmelis, so he was never maksadas from it. Since he was never maksadas from it, it didn't become muksa, and they gave him the advice to use the gemi. When it broke, however, in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and he knew, I can leave it there, and I'll pick it up tonight after Shabbos, so he was automatically maksadas from it. If he was automatically maksadas from it, it becomes muksa. So the Chazon Ish uses our Gemara as a raya. When we learned Hilchos Muksa, one of the halachas that we learned is that you can move muksa kalach yad, meaning you can move it with your body, you could kick the muksa. Since you're not moving it expressly with your hands, it's not considered you moved muksa. But the Chazon Ish says that the only time you can move muksa under those conditions is if it's not letzoruch dover muksa. You're moving it for your own purpose. But if you're moving it letzoruch dover ha muksa, that even moving it shloi kederech, moving it in not the usual fashion, still will be usur. And that's why the Chazanis says, the Rai is our Gemara. Why did he say shafkei, leave the shoe where it is? He could have said, kick the shoe. And it's tiltal, you're moving it not the normal fashion. So says the Chazanish, from here we have a raya that tiltal, shloi kederach, is not muksa, not mutter when it's letzorech dover hamuksa. The Mishnah Brura in Simen Shin Chesif Katan Yud Gimel disagrees with the Chazanish. And he says, any time that you don't move the muksa with your hand, there is no problem. So the Chazanish, has a great raya from our Gemara. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Micha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Dalet Ois Beis, says that every other muksa, you could deed kick with your foot. But a shoe, since it's meant to be on the foot, so kicking a shoe with a foot is not considered shloi kederech. And therefore, since it's not considered shloi kederech, the heter that you can move it, shloi kederech, would not apply over here. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's explanation. Another, he says it's a difficult explanation, because when we say that a shoe is meant to be with the foot, it means when you wear it with your foot, not when you kick it with your foot. So therefore, he says that's exactly what the Gemara meant. The Gemara, when it said shafke, did not mean that you should just leave it. You could kick it to a corner. Just what he meant was, don't pick it up. Ask the Gemara, v'abmanahu, why is this shoe considered not muksa, that it's not usable? The boy hafichna le mimin l'smol. The way their shoes were made, they had leather straps. And they had a leather strap on the outside of the shoe, and there was a leather strap on the inside on the shoe. So you could switch the broken strap and take it from... So nobody wants to walk with a broken strap on the outside, because that's the part that's visible. But you could take the inside strap and use it for the outside. So it won't... So it will be a good shoe. So why does the shoe that's broken because the strap tore be considered muksa? Amalei. So he responded, min the kumataritz Rabbi Yochanan leave Rabbi Yehuda, shma min ha'alach Rabbi Yehuda. Since Rabbi Yochanan explains the brisa we're going to learn like Rabbi Yehuda, he obviously followed the opinion of Yehuda. Ask the Mamaihi, what do you mean? The Tanya, the brisa says, sandal shnifku shtei oznov, a sandal which both straps tore, or shtei triyasov, or the strap holders tore, or shenitel kof kaf shaloi, or the entire sole was removed, tahor. As we've discussed many times, kalim, including garments, shoes, can become tameh, but if they're totally broken, they become tahor. But if this, so if a shoe got torn to this degree, it's considered completely broken, and it's tahor. However, achas mi oznov, if one of the straps, I asked Matriyasov, one of the strap holders, or should not derive kaf shaloi, or most of the sole is removed, so it's still usable, and therefore it's still tomei. Yudaimer, nifska panimis, if the inside strap gets torn, it's tomei, because as we just explained, it's still usable. Hachitsoina, but if it's the outside strap that gets torn, tohar, because it's no longer usable. Vama ulavi tamer rabba belchana omer rabbi yochanan, the same machlokes that we have in regarding Hilchas Tumah, is it still a keli or not? Kach machlokes in Shabbos, we'll have the same question regarding Shabbos, is it still considered a shoe and not muksa, or is it no longer considered a shoe and therefore is muksa? Avloy le'inyan chalitza, but not regarding Hilchas Chalitza. And the Gemara tries to immediately to analyze this statement of loy l'inyan chalitza. Vavinaba, Rabbi Yochanan liba the man. What did Rabbi Yochanan mean to say with this statement? If he's trying to explain according to Rabbanan, and he's saying, midlinyan tumah manahava, since we're saying that even if it's broken, it's still considered a keli as far as hichas tumah, and therefore, linyan Shabbos nami manahava, as far as hichas Shabbos is concerned, it's also still considered a keli, and it's therefore na muksa. Av loy l'chalitza, if you wanted to use such a shoe for chalitza, you cannot use it. The lav manahu, ask the Gemara, how could you say that? V'tanan, The Mishnah in Masechta Yevam Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph teaches us, Chotzer Shel Shmol B'Yamin, if you used a shoe that you're supposed to do the chalitza on the right foot of the Yavam, and if you put the left shoe on his right foot, Dal Chalitza Shera, it's still considered a valid chalitza. So we see from here that you could switch the shoes, just switch the straps. So it's certainly going to be considered a shoe as far as the, if that's good by chalitza, it's certain, if that's the halacha by chalitza, if a shoe is good for tumah and it's a shoe, it's considered a shoe for Shabbos, it certainly should be good for chalitza. El alib de Rabbi Yehuda. And what he's saying is, middling your tumah lamanu, Rabbi Yehuda considers if the outside strap is broken, it's not considered a shoe anymore as far as hichas tumah is concerned. Lin Yishabas Nami Lab Manahu. It's not considered keli as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned. Avloyal Chalitza, as far as Chalitza, Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree the Manahav, it's still considered a valid shoe. Ask the Gemara, Eimad Amrin Chalitza Shel Shmol Min Chalitza Kshera. When did the Mishnah Masechet Yevam teach us that if you used the left shoe on the right foot, the Chalitza is still considered a valid Chalitza? Hecha de la Milsei Manahu, when it's still considered a shoe. Just it's supposed to be the left shoe, and you manage to put it on the right foot, it's still going to be considered kosher chalitza. Avohocha, in the case that we are discussing, lemilse lemanahu, it's not considered functional. Dabar Rav Yehuda, nifsek chitzoina, as we're learning, Rav Yehuda says, of the outside strap, the visible strap tears tor. So obviously, according to Rav Yehuda, lav manahu, alma lav manahu, it's entirely not a shoe. And it's since it's entirely not a shoe, how could you suggest that Rav Yehuda will consider it valid to make a chalitza with? It says the Gemara, the way you understand the brice is as follows. Lo'alam alibid Rav Yehuda. Rav Yochanan is following the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And the Eimon, this is the way to understand what he's saying. V'chein chalitza. And he's saying that just like it's not considered a shoe for Hilchus Shabbos, it's not considered a shoe for Hilchus Tumah, it's also not considered a shoe for Hilchus Chalitza. V'ach k'mesh malon. And actually what they're teaching us is the halacha that we just learned. The ki amrina chotzer shel shmol b'shemin chalitzos k'shera. When was the halacha stated that if you used a left shoe on the right foot, the chalitza is kosher? That's only hecha in a situation the milsei manahu, that it's still at least a shoe. Avol hocha, in this situation, lemilse la manahu, it's not a shoe altogether. In a situation where it's not a shoe altogether, there you can't make it into a good shoe under any circumstances. Ask the Gemara. So here we're saying the Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara. Is it true that Rabbi Yochanan follows the opinion of Yehuda? We have a rule throughout Shas that Rabbi Yochanan always says halach k'stam mishnah, that we always follow the stam mishnah, and we learned in a mishnah in Masechet Kelim sandal shenifsek achas meoznav tikna. If you have a shoe that one of its straps got torn and it's still usable, Tamei Medris. It's still Makabal Tumah. As we learned a number of times in Amas Sechta, there are halachas of Tumas Medris. The Torah says, Ish, Kiyah Zoivim V'Soira, Zoivai Tamahu, that the Torah is teaching us that if somebody who's a Zov sits or lies on something that was meant to sit or lie on, the Torah says, Kala Mishkov, Ashayishkov Azov Yitma, the kala keli asheyeshev lav yitma, v'ish asheyishka yigav mishkova yichabes begodav v'rochts b'mayim v'tamei da'arav, v'yoshev keli asheyeshev lav zav yichabes begodav v'rochts b'mayim v'tamei da'arav. The Torah is teaching us that we have this tumas medris, that anything the zav sits or lays on becomes tamei. The chiddush is that not only does it become tamei, but it becomes tamei with avatuma, just like the zav is an avatuma. Anything he lays on becomes an avatuma. And that means, let's say he's laying, there's a stack of mattresses, one on top of the other, and he lays on the top mattress, all 10 mattresses that he's laying on will have tumas medris, tumas av hatuma, as long as it's something that is meant to sit or lay on, not that amoid v'nasim lachteinu. And then the halacha continues to teach us that if something touches this, whatever touches it is called Tamei Maga Medris, And whatever becomes tummy maga medris, the halacha is a rishon l'tumah. So our Gemara is saying that this shoe that broke, that was tummy, it was a tummy medris, the Zov was wearing the shoe, even though the sandal broke, it's still tummy. Obviously, this Mishnah is paskening that a broken sandal, a sandal with a torn strap, is still considered a sandal. Not what Rabbi Yehuda taught us. Rabbi Yehuda has been teaching us in our shir that a sandal with a broken strap is not a sandal anymore. Says Marloi. That Mishnah is talking about Pnimis Dafka. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that a torn strap makes the shoe no longer a shoe? When it's the outside strap that's torn. But over here was the inside strap, which is not visible and noticeable. There, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that it's still a shoe. Avachitsoinamai, what are we learning now? That if the outside strap were tear, indeed it would be tar. Ask the Gemara if that's true. Yehachi, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Adatani, nifsuka shnia mitekna. If first the one strap tore, and then the second strap tore, so then, since both straps were torn, it's tar min medris, and no longer has tumas medris. Both straps were torn. Avatame maga medris. It still has the tumas maga medris on it. And the Rishonim want to know if, as we're learning, anything that's broken is no longer tame. So since both straps tore, and therefore it's no longer considered a shoe, why is it tame maga medris? It should be not tame at all. So Rashi says, since this shoe touched itself while it was good, that became tumah medris, and that tumah doesn't fall away just because it's broken. Other Rishonim explain that it broke, the first strap broke, and then they fixed it, and then the second strap broke. So since it was never completely broken at one time, that's why it has tumas maga medris, but it won't have tumas medris on it. So that's why it doesn't have tumas medris. But why do we have to come up with such a situation if we're suggesting that that Mishnah could even follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Nifl B'dida? We should say much simpler halacha. But medvar amurim, when is the shoe considered still a shoe, even though the snap broke? Shenifsuk pnimis, so it's the inner strap. Av chitzayno, if it's the outer strap that tore, tohor, then it would be tar because it's considered broken. The Mishnah is speaking about a sandal shesh le'aboz na'ayim, and has four straps. And four strap holders. To make the Rabbi Yochanan should still be able to work. What does that mean? That if it has two straps on the outside and two straps on the inside, so even if one strap tears, the other strap is still there, and therefore it's still a shoe. And even Rabbi Yehuda says that if an outside strap tears, it's no longer a shoe, will agree that now it is still a shoe. Kiyasa Ravin, Amrav Chanabar Abba Amrav, Halach Rabbi Yehuda. That he said, Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochan Amar, Halach is Ein Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, Miyam Rabbi Yochan Hachi, can we say that Rabbi Yochan doesn't follow like Rabbi Yehuda? From a Taurus Rabbi Yochan, I leave Rabbi Yehuda. Since, as we found it on an Aleph, the Rabbi Yochan goes out of his way to explain the Mishnah and the Brises, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Shmamino, obviously, Rabbi Yehuda Srile, that he does follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It says the Gemara, Amaroyim Ninu, I leave Rabbi Yochan. There's a Machloikus Amaroyim, what was Rabbi Yochan's opinion? Did he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or they're not passing like Rabbi Yehuda? And these two different versions represent that machlokes. Tanan Hossam. So we've learned in Masechta Kelim, and we've spoken about this often. Kol kli balabatim, or kelim that belong to balabatim, shiurim kremoinim. When is it considered broken? When the hole is so large that it can't hold a remoin. It can't hold a pomegranate. But if it's not that large, that it could still hold a pomegranate, then it's still usable, because you could use it for pomegranate. But the Mishnah specifically speaks about kli balabatim, because only by keli of a balabayis, so people who own kelim in that world wasn't a disposable world, so if they had a keli, they didn't throw it out until it was useless. If it has a hole the size of a rimoin, it became useless. But a keli that somebody has to sell, there, even the smallest hole, nobody's going to buy a keli that has a hole in it. Furthermore, this is only by kliyets. But kli cheres, as we discussed, even a smaller hole is considered tamei. Furthermore, the Mishnah in Masechta Kelim, Perek Yud Zayin Mishnah Dalet, when it discusses the Rimonim, says Rimonim Shamru Shloisha Chuzim Zebezeh, three panagrammets. So if you learn the Mishnah simple, it would seem that you have to have a hole that's so large that three pomegranates would fall out, which is clearly, says Tosfos Divrei Maskil Ad, contradiction to what we're learning here. Because here we're learning as soon as it has a hole that even one pomegranate could fall out of, it'll be considered broken. So Tosfos explains that Mishnah is trying to speak about is that there are different size pomegranates. So pomegranates that grow three together, that's the size of a pomegranate that if the hole is large enough that such a pomegranate would fall out, it's considered a broken keli. But the pomegranates that grow only one off a stem or two off a stem are too large, and that's too big of a pomegranate. On the other hand, a pomegranate that grows four out of a stem is considered too small of a pomegranate. So the Mishnah over there, Masechta Kelim, is trying to describe what size pomegranate makes the keli be considered broken. So again, Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah, as we just learned, teaches us kol kli balibatim, all these kelim, if they have a hole, the size to remind them, they're considered broken. Ask the Gemara, by Chizkia, nikev kamotzi zayis, you have a keli that has the size of a zayis, v'sosmai, and you sealed it up. V'chazav nikev kamotzi zayis, and then I got another hole, v'sotmai. Atchash limel mitzi mahu. That means it had so many holes that the hole is large enough that a pomegranate could fall out. But it was never there one time. Amaloi, Rabbi Yochanan, to which Rabbi Yochanan responded, Rabbi Shnisalana, you taught us. Sandal Shnisa Achsm Oznavatikna. If one of the straps of the shoe tore and you fixed it, Tomei Medris. Now, before the second strap tears, Nifska Shnivatikna, Tomei Medris, Ava Tomei Maga Medris. It no longer is Tomei Medris. Vemrinan Loch, and we tried to ask Mashna Rishona, why, when the first strap broke, does the sandal remain Tomei? The Kaima Shni, because you still have the second strap. So, if so, Shni and Nami, when the second strap broke, Misakna Rishona, the first strap was already repaired. So, you still only have a shoe with only one torn strap, Vamritlon, LA, and you explain, Panam Chadoshet Balakan. The way to understand what happened is that it's a whole new shoe. Hachanami, here too, the way we understand this, Panam Chadoshet Balakan. If both straps tore, albeit they didn't tear at the same time, but since it's totally repaired, it's considered Panam Chadoshet Balakan. Karale, so when he heard this great teretz, he said, Less than Barinish. This is not a human being. This is a malach. Or Ikadamri, what he said was, Kigoin Dein Barminish. This is what a person's supposed to look like. A person is supposed to be a person who could give tremendous pshatim in Divrei Torah. Amar Abzeira, Amar Rav Barzmuna. Im Rishonim B'nai Malachim, if the previous generations were Malachim, then Anu B'nai Anoshim, then we're considered like human beings. Im Rishonim B'nai Anoshim, if they're like human beings, Anu K'chamarim, then we are to be looked at like donkeys. But what kind of donkeys? Like a chamar shereb chanina mendoisa, or shereb pechs b'yar, el kishar chamar, simple donkeys. Where do we find these the stories about these donkeys? The Gemara Masech Techulin, Dav Zayin, teaches us that a pechs b'yar once saw a donkey, and the donkey was fed barley from which maisa was not removed, and the donkey went to eat it. Only after the maisa was removed. And then there's another halacha that the Gemara Masech Tainis, that Choftala teaches us, that there was a donkey that was rented for the day, and then the renters would send back the rental payment on its back. The donkey would not return if the payment wasn't the correct amount. Once it happened, that a pair of sandals was left on the donkey, and they didn't move, and it didn't move until it was removed from it. The Gemara also speaks about Reb Chanina ben Doisa, about his donkeys. And that's what the Gemara is saying. That's why is this Gemara here, says the Sfas-Emes, because we just described him as less than Bar Inish. He's a Malach, and that's why we speak about these Malachim. We're going to come back to this Gemara soon. We learned in the Mishnah that Noidus Yayin V'Shemen, the canteens of wine or oil, could be opened and closed on Shabbos, could be untied and tied. Pshita, of course, like we explained at the beginning of our Shir, since people use this on a constant basis, they're constantly opening and closing them. If they're constantly opening and closing them, that's not kosher matter. Answers the Gemara, it has two flaps. One of them was left permanently, and he's only going to use the other one. Kamash Milan, as we explained earlier, sometimes you use this one, and sometimes you use that one, so therefore neither of them is considered permanent. Kederi Shabasar, again, it says that you're allowed to open, tie and untie the lid on top of the pot. Says the Gemara, Pshita, of course you may do so. Answers the Gemara, L'tzrich des l'shlocha. It has a spout. So maratem v'tulim v'atalei. People always take the contents out of the pot through the spout, and the rest is not, and therefore the snot is considered permanent. Kamash malam. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar, we learned in the Mishnah, Kaishrin, that we're allowed to tie an animal. Says the Gemara, Pshita. Of course, the animal's not left tied to the post where you tie it permanently. We're talking about a post that has two ropes. We would think, he's only going to use one of those straps, and the other one, he's going to leave there permanently, or he's just going to slip it off. That sometimes you untie this one, sometimes you untie that one. That is indeed the halacha. To which Abaye commented, halacha mechlal de pligi. If you're saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, obviously you're assuming that somebody disagreed with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But we don't find that anybody in our Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So he said to him, Amalei man nafka let me know. Why does it bother you if I said halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Certainly, that looks like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov if no one disagrees with him. Amalei, he says, you have to be precise when you learn. Gemara, when you're learning Gemara, Zemarta Tehei, is it just a song? Gemara is supposed to be precise. So if you're saying something that seems to indicate there's a machlaikis, you weren't precise in what you said. And that's not the way one is supposed to learn. So here we learned the Gemara in Rishonim Kibnei Melochim on Bnei Noshim. So I saw that the Sefer Gedolei Torah v'Chassidus explained, what does it mean, im? It says, im is speaking to us. Im, if our attitude to the Rishonim is that they are Bnei Melochim, that they are as great as Melochim, then we are Bnei Anoshim, then we're considered somebody. But im, if our attitude to the Rishonim is that Bnei Anoshim, they're just mortal human beings, then if that is our attitude to the Rishonim, then we're not even human beings, then we're Chamoirim. But says Rabbi Aaron Kotler, he says, the Gemara, the Medrash says, Chayv Odom Loimar, Mosi Agia Maisa Elamaisa, Avois Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. So says Rabbi Aaron Kotler, listen to this Gemara. He's saying, on one hand, our Gemara is saying that our attitude to the Rishonim is that we're supposed to view them as Malachim. But as much as we're supposed to view them as Malachim, we're still supposed to try to achieve Mosi Agiu Maisai L'Maisai Avoisai. Everybody, no one has an excuse to say, I've done enough. You have to do as much as you can and not say that I've done as much as I can. Rabbanim B'Shishcha, however, said, it's interesting. You look at the wording. He says, Mosi Agiu Maisai L'Maisai Avoisai. Nagi means to touch. We have to recognize that we can never reach the Madrega. But what we have to try to achieve is Yagiu, that we should touch their Madrega. The Sefer Daf al Adaf brings a very nice mashal. He says, if you want to have electricity, you have to put the two wires together. You have to at least try to reach a certain Madrega. If you try to reach a certain madrega, then maybe you'll get there. However, this is the basis, says the Chazon Ish. The fundamental of learning is that we know that a Amora can't argue with a Tana, a Rishon can't argue with an Amora, an Achroinim can't argue with Rishonim. The basis for that function of learning is all in our Gemara. In Rishonim k'malochim, we have to look at the Rishonim like they were malochim. So who are we to argue in a malach? It's a whole different category. When we think about people and we think about malochim, it's not the same altogether. And therefore, we have to recognize what our limitations are. And therefore, the halacha is that even if you'll have 100 achroinim arguing against one rishon, the halacha won't be like the achroinim. The Rav Dushinsky has a different approach to this Gemara. He says, "Im rishonim k'mnei malachim." For us to be im rishonim k'malachim, if we recognize the importance of the previous generations and we look at them as malachim, then we are b'nei adam. Then we will be able to continue that mesira. But if we don't have the proper respect and the proper attitude to the previous generation, then we are just chamayrim. Rev Nosson Gishtetner Zatzal, in his Sefer L'Horis Nosson, has a different approach. He says that a malach and an adam, a malach and a human being, it's not that one can be compared to the other. A malach is a malach, and a person is an adam. We have to recognize, so he says, that the previous generations weren't just greater than us. The previous generation were a whole different category of individuals than we are. So I saw that the Rishner has a whole different take in this Gemara. He says, if you walk into a shul and you see somebody davening, he's davening with great kavana, he's davening with great seriousness. It doesn't really surprise you. That's what people do in shul. But if you walk into a shul and you would see a donkey davening, that would blow you away. Donkey davening, it wouldn't make a difference. You wouldn't even look at the siddur that he's davening from. The mere fact that he's opening a siddur and davening would be such a surprise to you. So he's saying, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us. I recognize that you live in a generation where it's difficult and still you try to daven and still you try to learn. That is something. You're chamayrim, but you're chamayrim that are still trying to do what's right. That's something that I respect so much. And the Chafetz Chaim has a lengthy discussion. If, as we're learning, that we consider the previous generations so much greater than the current generation, he says, yet we see that there are so many inventions, and we see this constantly, that there's so many inventions and so many different technologies that were invented in the later generations that weren't here in the earlier generations. If we're saying that they are so much greater than us, how come we were able to come up with these inventions and they weren't able to come up with these inventions if they were so much greater? So the Chafetz Chaim's approach to this question is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us have the intelligence to come up with all of these inventions, it's not just because we are developing new inventions. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts this ability for us to come up with all of these inventions is all for Avodas Hashem. The Chafetz Chaim spoke in his generation. He said if there was a telephone was created, the reason a telephone was created was to show that there's an Oizen Shamas. You could be on the other side of the world and hear what's going on. If telescopes were discovered that you could see thousands of miles away, it's to prove that Ayin Roya, that there's an eye somebody could see even if it's not right nearby. Everything else that was created was to show the godless Hashem what an incredible universe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. So he says the earlier generations did not need all of these aids to help them believe that there's a Hashem. Since they didn't need all of these inventions to help them believe that there's Hashem, they weren't created. We, however, live in a time, like our Gemara suggests, that we're in a much lower Madrega. If we're in a much lower Madrega, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to show us what an incredible universe there is there, what an incredible universe he created, that should help us live with Amunah and help us live and understand the tzaddik b'munasa yichya, that we always have to remember that the basis of our life and the purpose of our life is to live and believe that there is a Hashem.